This is Bears Monday right here on 670 The Score, your home of the Bears fans. And this is Chuck Swirsky, Joe Bag of Donuts. We got Tyler Farrengel, and he is putting together the show. We'll take your calls, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, along with your texts. More texts are coming in. This is really crazy. Chuck, I love your passion for the Bears, but you got to tell the fans not only to chill, you need to tell them we need Justin Fields back.
I do not approve with your Caleb Williams jersey on, Chuck. I'm fully on board with where you are at. The Bears have Caleb Williams. They are moving forward with a new era. Yes, it was a slow game one, but I will say it. I've said it to some callers, and I've said it to you, but I'll say it again right now. They have just played their worst game of the season offensively. They will not be that bad the rest of the season. It can only go up from here. And they still won by a full touchdown.
Yes. And I mean, what? All of a sudden last year, it was Justin Fields can't play. We got to get a real quarterback. Where's Caleb Williams? We got to get him in the draft. You got to tank. And now, hey, listen, you know, maybe Justin Fields wasn't so bad after all. Listen, you are out of control here. You are really out of control. In fact, I'll tell you what, Tyler, can you do me a favor? Could you come into the studio and take a picture? Because I am broadcasting with my Williams jersey on. And maybe you can, if possible, you can put that on 670, the Twitter site. Can you do that, Tyler? All right, thank you. All right, because I'm all in on Caleb Williams. One game, folks, one game. Relax. Just relax. Be patient. Thank you very much. All right, we got lines open at 312-644-6767 right here on 670 The Score. And let's see, why don't we go to line one? And that's John from Joliet. And John, welcome, 670 The Score. Always a pleasure. We're on with you until 5 a.m. What's going on, John?
Yes, sir. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I just want to piggyback on what you're saying. Come on, one game, and it's this man's first game of his career, professional career. Look, I'm 41 years old, so I was 2 years old the last time he won a Super Bowl. I'm so ecstatic about having this young man in this organization.
Well, I think we all are. Well, maybe not all of us, but I am. And I think I can speak for most of Bears Nation. And you listen, I get it. We're fans and everyone has an opinion. And I respect people for voicing their opinion because that's the name of the game. You have to have respect. But one thing I think also people need to do is relax. He's going to be better. This young man has an enormous amount of talent. This is a different beast altogether from college football. The players are bigger. They're stronger. They're a heck of a lot faster than what you're seeing at, you know, back in the Pac-12 days. And so it's going to be an adjustment. I don't think anyone thought it was going to be easy. But I'll tell you one thing. Give this man some respect. Give him some time because the skill is there. Trust me, the skill is there. He will be an all-pro quarterback. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in his career, he will be a multiple all-pro quarterback. And one day, in my opinion, will be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
I agree with you 100%. Can I ask you one question? Do you think that with this defense that we have and with Caleb improving and this offense improving with the line getting better, do you think that we can actually make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
And I believe we can. I believe we can actually win a game in the playoffs. That's just me.
Yep. Well, again, you know what? I think they've got to solve some issues on the offensive line. Center is going to be an area where I'm sure that's under the microscope right now, okay?
Because Bates wasn't in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. And yeah. Shelton did struggle. So, I mean, yeah. I do think that that's going to be an area. But I'll tell you one thing that impressed me today, not only in addition to special teams, but also from a defensive standpoint, you know, they rose to the occasion. I like what they did. And also, you know, with Ryan Poles and what he was able to do with the acquisition, you know, with making that edge runner, edge player, and the linebacker, Daryl Taylor. Seattle. Yep, Daryl Taylor. Uh-huh. And what would they trade for him? For a sixth-round pick?
Yes. Yep. Got him for free, basically.
Yep. Basically, they got him for free, and he had two sacks today. So I think it panned out.
Yep.
But, again, a lot of football to be played, but I'm really, really encouraged by what I saw, special teams, defense today, and the offense will come around. So thank you. But I really love what Eberflus did, especially in the second half with his blitz package.
He made the adjustment.
Yes, he did.
He made the adjustment. Yep.
So thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
all
it. Right. Thank you. Let's go to Jamal from Uptown on 670 The Score. Jamal, welcome.
What's up, Chucky?
Well, I'm feeling good because the Bears won.
That's a good thing. And you being a guy that long standing in our city, man, hey, the job you and Bill Winnington do is like y'all put us right in the living room with you guys, man. Seriously. It's so down to earth. And you guys really know the game, you know, piggybacking off one another with Bill. It's a pleasure to listen to you, man.
Well, you're very really kind. Thank you. So what do you think of the Bears game today?
I think that, man, Justin Fields had more intangibles, man. And I feel like, you know, it was incentivized for the Bears to lose and tank and get a lottery pick. They already had one coming with Carolina's pick. But now you got the weapons around him. You would have had the weapons in place for Justin. Give him a viable option other than Darnell Mooney, a fifth, sixth-round pick that is number one target the duration of his tenure with the Bears. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Give him a healthy offensive line. You got a guy that can rush for 1,000-plus yards on the year, Chuck. That makes it third and short. You're the best in the league against the run. That means you're going to control the time of possession. Now you go out and get perennial 1,000-yard threats from the guy from Washington, and you got a proven guy in Allen. Why couldn't Justin play in that system? You could, you know what I'm saying? Why couldn't you have went out and got?
Yeah, but
I
think they reached. I think I can't speak for the front office, and I don't want to speak for the front office, but I do think that they evaluated where they were at with Justin Fields and where they could go with Caleb Williams. And I think they did their due diligence and looked at every element and aspect of both players and reached the opinion that they could, with Caleb Williams, could go farther for an extended period of time and deeper in the playoffs with Caleb Williams.
Absolutely not. You know, that cookie-cutter conference, the Pac-12, hasn't produced a premier threat at quarterback one out of the last 20 years. You name me anybody besides Jared Goff who's done it. I'll wait. For all the guys that have come out of the Pac-12, you name me one besides Jared Goff that have won with any kind of consistency over the last 20 years, Chuck. Not to mention, Caleb bounced around, didn't he? He ain't proven, man. You should have kept Justin. Hey, it's going to be a great year with the Bulls, man. I'm so happy they got Giddy. How is Lonzo looking, Chuck?
Well, again, you know? I've only seen Lonzo on tape. You know, he or his agent, they put out the clips on social media, and he is playing 5-on-5 ball. Now, to what degree, I don't know. I'm not in the gym. I haven't seen him. I don't know how much contact he's taken, how many minutes over an extended, sustained period of time is he playing? We'll find all that information out September 30th on Media Day. But I'll say this.
They got a conundrum at the guard, man. What are they going to do? Let LaVine play the three and let Giddy play the two?
Well, I would think, I don't know what they've got planned, but I can tell you, I think they brought Josh Giddy in to start. Okay. And I think Josh Giddy obviously did not like his role at OKC coming off the bench, but the reason he was traded is because with Chet Holmgren, the ball is in the hands of Holmgren, and it changed the dynamics of the offensive scheme of the Thunder. And that's why Josh Giddey was no longer a featured player in that starting five.
You're going to be a welcome addition here, man. I like Ayo's game, man. Ayo Dosunmu, man. That guy is smooth. He's a true worksman, and he shoots from the perimeter. He shoots at a high clip.
Yep.
He shoots down there 50% from the field overall and upwards of 42% from the three.
Yep, I agree with you.
He's a monster, man. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my man. Thank you, Jamal. Appreciate it. Leaving a couple lines open at 312-644-6767. Let's go to Austin from Park Hills, Missouri. Austin, how you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself, sir?
Good, thank you.
So, I'm in a big fantasy league with my friends, and they all were giving me crap because I'm a diehard Chicago sports fan. And I think I'm very grateful that the Bears won today. I'm very grateful. I'm not going to lie. But it worries me with how Caleb Williams looked today. And I know it's his first game. I get it. I understand. But I think the one question I have is of what went wrong for the offense in Caleb Williams? Like, I just wish that there was more for him in his rookie debut because he was so talented in college.
Well, I mean, listen, it was his first game. I think at times he rushed and he didn't grasp the ball. He threw the ball in traffic at the line. It was batted down. I think you got to give Tennessee's front four credit as well. There was a couple of passes that players simply dropped the ball. And, I mean, all these things, these factors led into where maybe some of the play calling, you know, maybe they weren't obviously in a rhythm and in sync. These things will be worked out. There's too much talent on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree with you. I agree.
Well, drive carefully. Thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. And, you know, one of the calls we just had said, who's the last stud 20 years? And one of our texters said, Aaron Rodgers did play at Cal. Yeah, he's not bad. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But I'm wondering, off the top of my head, let's see, Andrew Luck, Stanford, a very good player. I mean,
very good player.
Andrew Luck probably would have gone to the Hall of Fame had he continued to play.
Very good player. Yeah, I agree, Chuck.
Well, I think he had future Hall of Famer written all over him.
I agree. It'd be interesting to see how it would play out if he stays with Indianapolis his whole career, if he ends up winning a Super Bowl. But the talent was undeniable with that guy. Unfortunately, the injuries forced him to retire.
And I think he looked in the mirror and said, you know what? I don't want to push my luck.
It was that opening week of preseason against the Bears.
Yes.
He retired at halftime.
Yep.
Very shocking.
Yep. And, you know, and then remember the Colts crowd? They got on his case. And I'm thinking, why? I mean, how come he can't walk away? How come he can't look in the mirror and say, you know what? I value my health and I've been injured. I'm banged up. I've had concussions. I really don't want to do this anymore.
It was a shame the way they handled it, considering they went from Peyton Manning directly to Andrew Luck. So I'm just hoping that we as Bears fans could kind of treat this the same way. Like, yeah, the Justin Fields era was rocky, but I hope that this paves the way for Caleb Williams to be that successful quarterback that this city and this fan base has been dying for the last decades on end.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, it's just a small group and a small, because I don't want to exaggerate here. The fans are behind Caleb Williams. But you know what? When the side of the ball struggles, defense, special teams, offense, fans are going to be irate. They're going to be upset. They're going to be frustrated. That's a fan. But one thing is, if you listen to Caleb Williams, we're going to play this press conference. Why don't we do this in about 15 minutes? Caleb Williams is so polished. I mean, this guy has come into the NFL media savvy ready. I mean, he was doing national spots at USC when he was doing Dr. Pepper, right?
He was doing Wendy's, right? Yes, yes.
Okay, and he's in L.A., so you know he's being interviewed nonstop because people cover USC like they do the NFL. So he's used to this, and he's poised, and he's an outstanding, outstanding communicator. He really is. I mean, I respect him. I love the guy. I think he is a ready-made star in the making.
I think we really got a sense of how he was when, so after the season ended, right, after the ugly loss to the Packers, we all kind of had a feeling that there was going to be a change at quarterback. We were all waiting to hear from Caleb, the potential guy. And when the NFL Combine came around, even though he didn't participate, he still spoke to the media. And I feel like he came so prepared with every sort of angle and question that these reporters were asking him. And I just felt like it sounded a little bit different compared to what we've seen in the past. Again, nothing against Justin Fields. Great guy, very talented player, but he did sound a little bit more robotic up at that podium. Caleb Williams sounds prepared. He sounds ready. It doesn't sound like anything's forced out of him. It all sounds, to your point again, Chuck, very natural, very prepared, and that he kind of just knows what to say and when to say it.
Yes, I think that's an excellent point, Tyler. Because at the Combine in Indianapolis, where they've got reporters from every city embarking and just going there, and now a lot of players just sit out. They don't go through the workouts. And one thing about Caleb Williams, when he was at the podium, he didn't have his agent standing next to him. He didn't have a PR specialist, you know, spoon-feeding him or telling him what to say or not to say. This was Caleb Williams front and center, just like he's doing with the Bears. And I think this guy is going to be absolutely fabulous. Is he going to stumble? Is he going to struggle? Yes. But in the long run, as a lot of this, we just gave you these stats. And for those of you who just joined us, let me see if I can pull it out here again. Caleb Williams had a 55.7 passer rating, the 11th worst debut among all quarterbacks picked, first overall since 1970. Okay? List of performance worse than Caleb Williams. John Elway was 0.0. Terry Bradshaw, by the way, I saw John Elway his rookie year playing against the Bears on a very snowy Sunday in Chicago. He was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And I think John Elway's first game, and I know we're going to have people that can probably look it up on the internet, and you can look it up right now, Tyler. I think his first game was against Pittsburgh. And because John Elway was super hyped, he was, without any doubt, Caleb Williams of 1983. And John Elway was an amazing, amazing quarterback. He was an unbelievable baseball player, played in the Yankees system, but John Elway was 0.0 in his first game as an NFL quarterback. Terry Bradshaw, number one pick. When was Bradshaw taken? Like 69, 70, somewhere around that period? 19.3. Matthew Stafford came out of Georgia, number one pick by the Lions, 27.4. Troy Aikman, first he went to Oklahoma, transferred to UCLA, 40.2 on a really bad Cowboys team. And Eli Manning, 45.1. Eli Manning was at Ole Miss, very celebrated blockbuster trade with the Chargers. Phillip Rivers ultimately ends up in San Diego, Eli Manning to the Giants. What do you got for me, Tyler? Did John Elway make his NFL debut against Pittsburgh?
He did, and they ended up winning that game 14-10.
Yeah, but I think he got benched.
Yes, you are correct.
Was Steve DeBerg the backup quarterback or whoever it was? All I can tell you is that Dan Reeves was the head coach. And I remember this because I was a huge Elway fan. John Elway was taken by Baltimore and refused to play for the Colts. And so they made a trade. Bob Irsay, then the owner of the Colts, made a trade with the Broncos. Chris Hinton, the former Northwestern star, was in that deal along with draft picks. But, again, these things are going to happen, and people need to have patience, period. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And let's go to Phil from Mount Prospect. Phil, you're on 670 The Score. We're talking about a winning, I repeat, Phil, a winning Bears Monday.
Yes, Chuck, I agree with you. You need to have patience with Caleb Williams. He looked like a quarterback that was playing his first game in the NFL today. I didn't expect a lot out of him. He didn't make major mistakes, such as the pass that Will Levis threw for a pick six. That was just straight stupid. But I do think he will improve. He misfired on about four passes. That one that Keenan Allen dropped in the end zone should have been a touchdown. And, there were four tipped passes on the line of scrimmage. I'm more worried about the offensive line than I am about the quarterback. I mean, you got Tavon Jenkins and Nate Davis are injury prone. Ryan Bates was out. I'm more worried about the offensive line. If we had a better offensive line, he certainly would perform better too.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's going to be addressed with Matt Eberflus on Monday afternoon. Of course, we'll have coverage right here on 670 The Score. Great point. Appreciate you staying up and joining us right here on 670 The Score. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. A 773 texter says, Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell Pittsburgh or quarterback. So who was the one? Was a Hollywood Henderson of Dallas. You can look this up, Tyler. There was a football player for the Dallas Cowboys, Thomas Hollywood Henderson. And I think he made a comment. I think it was the Super Bowl with Dallas and Pittsburgh. And he said Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if he gave him the letters C and T or something to that effect. And maybe you can, chime in, Tyler, when you find that quote from Hollywood Henderson on Terry Bradshaw, because they said that Terry Bradshaw couldn't read defenses. Terry Bradshaw had a tough time picking up an offensive system.
Yeah, what I could find here, Thomas Hollywood Henderson, he was bashing Terry Bradshaw before the 1978 Super Bowl, saying that Bradshaw is, quote, is so dumb he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him a C and an A.
C and an A. There you go.
So okay. Just the letter T.
Yeah, just the letter T. And how many Super Bowls did Terry Bradshaw win?
Four Super Bowls.
Four. Okay. And that guy had a rocket for an arm. I mean, he could sling it. But, again, you know what? That's why all this stuff about, the Bears offense. Listen, you know what? It'll take care of itself. They have too many good players. They'll get in a rhythm. They're going to get in sync. I have no problem. This is not the end of the world, okay? It's called the National Football League. These are really good teams they're playing. Some better than others, obviously. Tennessee has a really good front line on their defensive line. But you know what? It's his first game. So people need to relax. Period. End of story. Let's go back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Tyler, do we have Jason on the line? Jason, welcome to 670 The Score.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think if we look back at this, isn't the Titans the defensive tackle a rookie? I think he's really good, and I think with our offensive line being a little shaky, I think that was the big key difference. And I think when we look down the road, we're going to look back and look at that defensive tackle and realize that guy's just really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not going to discredit the job Tennessee did today, or Sunday rather, but I can tell you that it disturbed me a little bit when a couple of the Tennessee, one in particular, was saying that they lost the game rather than the Bears won it.
Yeah, and so was Nate Davis, was he injured? Was he benched? Was he in and out? I was confused on that one.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I don't know. He was in and out. Was he benched? Was he hurt? I got to find that out because, I mean, that offensive line really struggled, especially at center. Shelton did not have a good game. I think, you know, and that's going to be an area where it's going to be brought up tomorrow without any doubt. But again, you know what? Some of these things are going to be worked out. They've got a brilliant general manager in Ryan Poles. They have a really good coach, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and the fact that I do like that Caleb got to play a lot more in preseason than any of us thought he was going to. But let's face it, this game one is the real, like, now you got some real tape on it. Now you can really see what it was like, experience it, and you can only grow from it. I was a little down on the situation because I'm like, oh, here we go again. But, I mean, you gotta put one foot in front of the other and just think that it can only go up from here and time will tell.
Yep. But you know what? Overall, I'll tell you something. I think they're going to probably be a little bit more aggressive with their play calling on offense against Houston. But I really like Swift. I think Swift is going to be a really good player and a great fit with this team.
Yep. And I was actually kind of surprised that we didn't see more stuff from him. But again, it all probably ties back into the offensive line. And yet we just won't know. You know, we'll probably get the song and dance, you know, because that's just the way that it is. And you just got to hope that some of these real professionals who will break down the 22 will, you know, have some more input for us and something for us to chew on. And I don't know. Let's just move forward and see what happens. I'm ready for next week. Scared, but ready. Let's just go.
Yep. So Swift carried 10 times for only 30 yards. The Bears only rushed for 84. But, you know, there is, again, the versatility of Swift I really liked. I liked him with Philly. I liked him with Detroit. But, you know, the other thing is, again, you know, from a play-calling standpoint, that Kmet only got one target and one reception, and that was for 4 yards. And I'd like to see him become more involved in the offense. Again,
there was that one shot they had of him on the sideline. You could just tell, like, you just saw the frustration, and it made me think, yeah, wait a minute. We haven't seen a lot of him, and I thought that that's what the Seattle offense was all about, was, like, all, you know, tight ends, and we just didn't see it.
Yep. Well, I thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Mike from the north side, welcome. 670 The Score. Mike, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank
you.
Yeah,
hey, how's it going, Chuck?
Hello? Mike, what can we do for you?
Yeah, hey, Chuck, I'm a big fan. First of all, I just want to say, you know, looking forward to the upcoming bowl season.
Thank you.
And real quick, I just wanted to kind of we're just touching on it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the offensive play calling, particularly like a couple third down and shorts that we had. I'm not sure how, to the extent that some of it was, you know, Caleb's decision making in terms of some of those like long passes that we attempted, but felt like we ran a few too many sweeps on like third and short when, you know, could have, you know, ran it up the middle, I thought.
Well, I'd like to see the ball club be a little bit more aggressive running the ball on the early downs. That's number one. And secondly, I think there were times, again, dealing with Caleb, there was that one play on third down where he became very anxious, bobbled the ball, and then ran out. And by that time, the play had busted and the Bears couldn't convert. But again, these are things they're going to look at a lot of tape and then they're going to execute because they got Houston. And let me tell you what, this is going to be a great test for the Bears to find out, only in their second game, granted, but they're going to find out where they stand on the road. This is going to be one of the marquee matchups in the National Football League coming up Sunday night on national TV.
Yeah, agreed. And we're going to have to do a lot better defending the run. Houston was running all over Indy.
Yep. Well, Mixon ran for 159 yards, And, you know, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder after being let go by Cincinnati. So, again, good ball game coming up. But for now, you know, the opportunity to break this game down and find out how do you improve from 1 week to the next. But I'm glad you called, Michael. Thank you. Let's take a break. We're going to have more calls, more from you on the phone lines, 312-644-6767. And welcome back, Football Monday, winning Football Monday right here on 670 The Score. And you're listening to Football Monday and Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. And don't forget, this morning right here on 670 The Score, and we're going to keep you company until 5 a.m., Mully and Haw, along with Dusty, we'll have all the scores, all the games, and a busy opening weekend of the National Football League. But Olin Kreutz with Mully and Haw at 7, DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8, Brad Biggs, Mully and Haw at 9, Anthony Heron with Bernstein and Holmes, Dan Weeder with Bernstein and Holmes at noon, and then at 3 o'clock, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner with Spiegs and Manley. At 4 o'clock, Mark Grody, who covers the Bears, does a great job right here on 670 The Score with Spiegs and Manley. At 5 o'clock, Jalen Johnson with Spiegs and Manley. And then Tuesday at noon, TJ Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes. And 670 The Score, Circus Sports Illinois, teaming up to celebrate the start of football season this Thursday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m., Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi and the afternoon show will be doing their shows live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. There are going to be food trucks and games and more throughout the day, Thursday from 10 to 6 with The Score and Circus Sports Illinois. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We have some listeners from Oklahoma catching our broadcast on 50,000 watts of Bears football, 670 The Score. We have a lot of people who are saying we love Caleb Williams, even though he did not play well. Chicago has his back. Again, Justin Fields, 17-23, 156, but the Steelers scored only 18 points. 6 field goals propelled the Steelers over Atlanta, 18-10. Cousins with 2 interceptions for Atlanta in his Falcons debut. Josh Allen ran for 2, threw for 2. Bills beat the Cardinals 34-28. Oh, by the way, Marvin Harrison. I mean, Tyler, we talk about rookies. How about Marvin Harrison? Big stud, great player, Ohio State, right? Guess how many receptions he had today for the Cardinals?
Count them, 1 reception.
For how many yards?
1, 2, 3, 4 yards.
That's right, 4 yards, Marvin Harrison. You think there are people who are calling right now in Phoenix on their sports talk show saying, oh, Marvin Harrison's a bust, get rid of him.
I have no doubt with the expectation for them. He's the clear-cut number one receiver. Why didn't Kyler Murray get him the ball more during the game?
Yep.
Chuck, the early part of the NFL season is the absolute peak for overreactions.
Yes, I agree. But by the way, before we get to other scores, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams in a moment. He addressed the media after the win today by the Bears. Yes, by the way, the Bears did win. Thank you very much. You know, the protective cap that they're wearing over the helmets?
The Guardian cap.
The Guardian cap, yes, thank you. So, like, I'm going to admit this, okay? And you know I love the NFL. I mean, on Sundays, like, that's me time. And me time is I want to watch my Bears. I'm Joe Bag of Donuts, okay? I got my Mr. Pibb. I got a sub sandwich. I'm all set, right? But I'm also a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite because this is a very violent sport. And the fans love big plays. They love big hits. Would you agree with that?
Yes, very much so.
They love to see a quarterback go corkscrew from a defensive lineman. They love to see a wide receiver get popped when he goes over the middle. They want to see collisions, okay? But I'm a fan, and I love the NFL. I love the NFL. I love the NFL better than college. Because now with this NIL stuff and these universities moving to superpower conferences, you got the Big Ten. What a sham. They're still calling it the Big Ten. How many teams are in the Big Ten now?
They should call themselves the Big 18.
18. 18. Okay? And I get it. The rivalries, you know, everyone's excited because USC and UCLA, they're going to be coming in to their place, you know, whether it's in 2 years, 1 year, 3 years, whatever the schedule is. But I get all that. But right now, it's like Ohio State spent how much money, NIL money? $20 million? $20
million. That's the report.
God bless the kids. They're getting paid. No problem. That's not my problem. But they are pro football players. When you get a check, you're a professional. It may not say NFL on your shield or your Buckeye helmet or whatever Texas helmet, but you're a pro. Once you accept money, you're professional. Would you agree with that?
I've never thought of it that way before, but now hearing you say that, Chuck, I think I do agree with you.
Okay. They've always been a farm system for the NFL. They have fed in to the NFL, but now they're just getting paid like it, okay? And I don't have a problem with that. But now, if you enter the portal and you're a good player, you're a free agent. That's what it's come down to. And the NCAA better get, because there's going to be some university presidents who are going to say, guess what? We ain't going there. That's not our mojo. And then you're going to have the super haves and the super have nots. And if you don't want to play this game, then you better be upfront with your athletic director and with your coaching staff that whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever revenue producing sports there are, that you are out of that league.
I think it's free agency times four because you think about it, right? There's 32 teams in the NFL. There are about, I believe the number is 100, and last time I checked, 128 D1 teams in college. I'll have to check that right now because they've added a ton. But it's free agency times four because you take into the fact, like you said, Chuck, you enter the portal and there's 100 more schools.
Well, you got to recruit. You don't think a kid right now that's playing at Michigan or Texas and he's the second line, you know, defensive back, and all of a sudden he says, you know, I'm not playing here, I'm going to enter the portal. And all of a sudden, these other D1 schools are saying, man, he was a backup cornerback at Ohio State. We're going to, you know, poach him and we're going to give him X number of dollars. And then Ohio State's probably saying, hey, we need this guy. We got to re-recruit him. I mean, it's like, if I'm a coach, I'm going wacko. I really am. And then you got these mid-tier programs like the Mid-American Conference. You recruit a kid, and you're recruiting this kid as a sophomore, as a junior. The kid commits going into his senior year in high school, and you think, great, we got him. And all of a sudden, he has a really good freshman year, and word has it that he could go high D1. Maybe after his sophomore year, and you lose him. So you're not only a farm system, but now the kids that you've recruited for that level who excelled, and you want to see him do well because it's a higher level of competition and he's getting paid, so you really can't complain, but it leaves mid-tier programs holding the bag. It happened at Ohio U, my alma mater, with the quarterback going to Indiana. And Rourke, by the way, had a great game the other day for the Hoosiers. And I love their coach, Cignetti. I mean, I think Indiana is, you know, right on target to have a really good season. But, I mean, college football right now is like, wow.
It's hard to keep track of everything that's gone on. And to your point, the NFL it's a lot more direct. You know who the main teams are. You know who the main players are.
Yep.
You don't have to keep track of all these different super divisions, individual players trying to make names and money for themselves. It's all about winning in the National Football League. And again, goes back to the theme of what should be this day, Chuck. Yes, it was a struggle for the Chicago Bears, but they won the football game. I remember doing the first overnight show with you last year and that ugly, ugly, ugly loss to the Packers and how we were all so disappointed. Yes, the beginning was ugly, but they found a way to win.
You were down 17-0. People at halftime were booing the Bears.
Yes, they were.
But they won the game. And at the end of the day, as Herman Edwards says, like, you play to win the game, right?
Hello? You play to win the game.
Thank you. By the way, got to give props. Area code 816 said, Chuck, give the Illini some props. Hey, big win for Illinois.
Yes.
Beating
big
Kansas.
Win for the Fighting Illini.
It was awesome. Awesome. Great, great win.
You know, Chuck, there actually something just reminded me talking about the Bears and winning. A previous caller, I remember he said something about give Eberflus the credit for the win. And actually, I think that might not be something that is talked about. Everyone's going to be talking about the defense, the turnovers, but I think a lot of people really should look at Matt Eberflus for this win because the caller was right. They could have folded at 17-0, but they didn't. And I feel like this is very reminiscent to the absolutely awful start the Bears had last year, 0-4. Talks of him being fired. Then they win an emotional game against the Commanders on the day that Dick Butkus passes away. They trade for Montez Sweat a few weeks later. And then it's like the whole vibe changed. The guys never wavered their support for Matt Eberflus. It was always there. And in a game like that where it was a rough start, they could have very easily given up. So I think that says a lot about Matt Eberflus, that the guys stuck together, they toughed it out, and they won an ugly game. Because if they didn't, that says a lot about Matt Eberflus, that I think they were out on him. They didn't support the message. They never gave up.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, I love Ryan Poles. I think he is a fantastic general manager.
Agree.
And one thing is, in this league, well, for that matter, any league, even in college football, pro football, if you don't have a stud at quarterback, You're out of it. Forget it. You have no shot. None. Zero. Forget it. You might as well start thinking about next year or next free agent, or because right now, like, for example, the New York Giants.
First team that came to my mind.
Daniel Jones. He's in their minds. They can't come out and say this publicly because they've got, you know, 16 games left to play. But based on what we saw today, and again, the guy's come back from a serious injury. I understand that. But I think that has run its course.
That ship has sailed, no question. And you saw in the Hard Knocks, too, and even the reports of the draft, they were trying really hard to trade up to number three for Drake May.
Yes, they were.
Not a great look.
No. And so now you've got a quarterback who probably deep down inside knows he's not wanted. Okay, even though they'll call him in and tell him, hey, we still have confidence in you, all this junk. You know, I mean, give me a break. He knows what's going on. His agent knows what's going on. And so now the Giants are a team in flux. They are, and plus it doesn't help with Barkley scoring, what, 3 touchdowns against Green Bay?
3 touchdowns, and I'm sure you've seen the clips, again, referencing the in-season Hard Knocks, of how upset owner John Mara was talking to GM Joe Shane about, I'm going to be really, really upset if he leaves for Philly. He was a fan favorite.
Well, how about with Joe Shane? And then he's on the sideline of the college football game on the Bears Hard Knocks.
Yes.
And he says to Ryan Poles, well, it must be nice. You don't have to worry about your quarterback situation. Well, what do you think he was implying? Like, hey, listen, you got your house in order. We don't.
No question about it. I think he was. There was a slight comment, congratulations on getting Caleb Williams, but 100% to your point, Chuck, he wouldn't have made that comment if he wasn't sold on Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
No question.
So they have a lot of work to do, and that's why the fans in Chicago have got to understand, even though you don't want to hear it, I'm telling you right now, be patient. It's going to be fine. Caleb Williams is going to be everything and more. Let's go to Pete from Lyle. Pete, you're on 670 The Score at 312-644-6767. What's your take on the Bears on Sunday?
All right. Before I get to my point, I will say Keenan Allen's right through the hands in the end zone. We might be saying different things about Caleb today. The ball was right there. maybe a little hot, but whatever. I don't know why he missed it, but it would have been a little different if he caught that. We'd be saying, hey, look, he got a touchdown. There were way too many times that Williams looked up and there was a guy that came in untouched. And it just, for his first game, for the offensive line to be doing that, whatever. The thing that I'm curious about, and not being a football guy except a fan, I see him kind of starting to get into a groove, and I don't know if it was like three times or two times or four times, but they'd be like third and three, and they would go for those deep throws. And for a rookie, I'm wondering, is it a offensive play call that we're going deep, or is it a quarterback decision that, okay, I see all this and I'm gonna try this because I got a one-on-one? How does it end up that like you're third and three, you're third and four? And
well, some of it is when in answer to your question, some of it is what the defense is presenting, okay? And that's number one. What are they throwing at you? And what are they trying to confuse you at the line of scrimmage? Some of that is the offensive coordinator probably trying to get a feel for Caleb Williams, and Williams trying to get a feel for the offensive coordinator. These are growing pains. You're going to have to expect these things. And they're going to sit down, and they're going to have a really good talk on Monday about going over the plays and what they liked and what they didn't like and what Caleb feels more comfortable in a situation. It's called communication. And I think those two are on the same page as far as communication. But again, this was the first game.
Oh, I'm not worried. I'm just curious, like if it's an offensive mindset that on third and three, you're going to try the deep ball, or if it's a quarterback at the time changes the play. I don't know if we'll ever know. I'm not worried about Caleb Williams. I think he did fine, given that, you know, sometimes you turn around, there's a guy right in your face. He did what he could. They'll be fine. But I didn't know if that was like a thing. Because if it's third and three, you think you'd see a slant to one of these guys and just keep, as they say, move the chains. But then they go deep. And one of those times was like to Carter. And that's not DJ Moore out there. That's not Keenan Allen out there. That's not Odunze out there. It's Carter that he's trying to like make this deep ball to on like third and three.
Well, my take is for Houston, I think they're going to be more aggressive running the ball early in downs. And also, I think they're going to look for their tight end more. That's just my opinion. I was disappointed they only threw it to Kmet once the entire game.
Yeah.
Thank you. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And again, people need to exhale, just, you know, let this thing breathe. And the Bears are going to be just fine, okay? I picked them for 11 wins. I'm staying with 11. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And ultimately, you're going to see Caleb Williams turn into an all-pro quarterback, a perennial all-pro quarterback, and a future Hall of Fame player. That's how sold I am on Caleb Williams. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams, in fact, in a moment, his post-game press conference, right here on 670 The Score.